everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive, 89.7 on your FM dial, 1301 on your Spectrum cable dial. Today, I have as my guest Peter Marchetti, president of the city council. And it's kind of a holiday show, not necessarily the end of the world holiday. We are going to talk about some things going on in the city, but mostly we want to just kind of get in a festive holiday mood, or at least I do. And I know Peter, he's dressed for it. I'm not because, well, I got Christmas socks on, but if I try to raise my leg to show you, they'll be sending Brian Andrews' ambulance to pick me up. Good morning, Mr. Marchetti.
Good morning, Mr. Sturgeon.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I am good. I am good. I have a couple of very quick announcements. On December the 10th, 1 to 3 p.m., St. Joseph's Church Hall, they will be collecting toys for kids, the Knights of Columbus, and they would appreciate new toys, not gift-wrapped. Not gift-wrapped. Also on September the 10th, St. Mary's Bingo will be in the afternoon. The game starts at 2:30 at the parish, and just go down there and enjoy it and have a good time. All proceeds go towards the children of St. Mary's School. So the St. Mary's Bingo, again, December the 10th. Seems like September, Peter, just yesterday. Hey, I have to, what a phenomenal concert you guys put on as the fundraiser in Dalton. It was a fun time.
Thank you. We raised close to 10,000 for the two nights. So it was a, good solid fundraiser once again for the parade committee, and gets us on the course for 2023.
That's what the time flew by. It really did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good mix of comedy, music, and, just an overall entertaining night. That's the purpose. It's to entertain, and that's what we're doing. Some of us do crazier things than others during the show to kind of get you to laugh. You're muted. You are muted, sir. Bill, you are muted.
You're right. Thank you for that. We really enjoyed it, the Polish Princess and I. And it was like a decompression thing, getting ready for the holidays. Saw a lot of friends there, a lot of people we know. But the quality of the singing and the entire program, I can't say enough good things about it.
Well, thank you.
And I think you've casted Joe Simony in his proper role.
He fits that role well.
Oh, he does. But I'll tell you, he can sing too. He really knocked it out of the ball. People were walking out, never heard Joe sing before, I guess. And they said, man, could you hear him? I never knew he could sing. So, what do you have planned for the holidays?
Well, I'm attempting to keep it as normal as possible. And so it's the first really post COVID where I feel comfortable with gatherings, and so we'll see. To me, the holidays are a time for family and friends, and that's exactly what I'm gonna make happen. I'll spend it. My normal holiday party that I would have each year is going to happen, and be able to see family and friends then, and then spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with family, which is something that we've always done.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different for us. we have a new grandson, so we will be spending that day with the new grandson, and it was going to be a different another era for us. We always do the big Polish Christmas Eve, Vigilia, or Vigilia, depending on where you come from. And yeah, you're right. It is a time, and I hope, I really hope people set aside their differences and just try to have a good holiday season. And you know, same with my, you know, Hanukkah and my Jewish friends. It's the same thing. I was chatting with somebody the other day, and they said, there's just so much anxiety, animosity, I don't know what, in the world, that, you know, we need this time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm the traditions guy. And so I think it's important to stay with your traditions and, you know, try to enjoy the best that you can, you know, and as you know, families lose members every year. And, you know, for years, I've kind of said there are some people who just can't celebrate the holidays based on the experiences that they've had. Right. And, you know, as much as I'm looking forward to being able to spend time with family and, you know, that large Christmas dinner that will happen, you know, Christmas afternoon, there are many others that don't have the opportunity. And, you know, I think that as we are, and I used to be the guy who is gung-ho Christmas, you know, you go by my lawn and it's fully decorated. The house is fully decorated. It's slightly different for me this year, but the traditions in life has to go on to, you know, create new memories, but not to lose the old ones. And
yeah,
it I have a different understanding for where some people are. And, you know, I think in your case, you know, I can think back to 22 years ago when my nephew was born.
Yeah.
You know? So a little bit different because your grandkid will be, you know, roughly 3 months old, maybe.
Yeah.
By Christmas, my nephew was 9 months for the first Christmas. And wow. I bought all this stuff. And I'll give you a little bit of insight. Just buy some cardboard boxes because that was...
Yeah.
You know, that was all that really mattered, that the wrapping paper in the boxes. But, you know, new life and, you know, kids and Christmas kind of make it. And enjoy it because you're not promised a next year. And so enjoy each one that you have and kind of move on.
I think that's great advice because as I'm sitting here, I think that of the people who aren't with us that were with us. And I think back, I always try to do this to bring me back to reality of where I am and how I got here and why things happen. I go back to my Christmas in Vietnam, and you want to talk about a kind of a away from home, away from the traditions, away from family. The Army certainly tried to make it the best they could with a turkey dinner, but I learned back then, be thankful for every day, because you really, as we both know, you don't know.
Right. And you know, I mean, I look back at over the years and how traditions have changed, right? As a kid, growing up, it was how do you, you know, and of course, as a kid, you don't realize it, but how do you balance Christmas morning, afternoon with one side of the family? And how do you balance Christmas afternoon and Christmas night with the other side? And, you know, you develop the traditions, and the traditions change over time. You know, Christmas Eve, when I was a child, was celebrated at our house. And, you know, the family came there, and Santa came about 8 o'clock and gave out presents to those that were there. And, you know, as we all got older, the tradition changed to a different house. And, you know, my family, my parents moved to Florida. So, you know, those holidays changed depending upon whether they came home for the holidays or not. And
yeah.
So you adjust, and, you know, your traditions don't have to be thrown away because something has changed. They just need to be modified. And you also have to kind of recognize the even though it's a joyous time of year, there are many of us that are still dealing with grief of some sort and experiencing something maybe for the first time. But I think just having to be realistic and understand where other people are is kind of the stuff to remember.
I think, and I know people who, these are not, for maybe childhood, bad memories from child, I don't know why, but they don't find the joy in Christmas that a lot of us do. And I think we need to remember that and just respect that, I guess, is the better word, rather than remember, respect it. Not everybody's going to be, you know, happy with Santa Claus. And I just see so many people that, yeah, and through my life, I've met a lot of them. I think back on places where I've been where people have volunteered to work on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day so they just didn't have to be home.
Right. Well, and, you know, I mean, it's, I look at it from here at the bank, you know, how many people want the week before, the week after Christmas, and, you know, look at the bigger picture. And of course I would like the day after Christmas or the week after Christmas off, but I'd also rather one of my staff who has three little kids that, you know, are enjoying the time to also be able to kind of experience that. And so everybody's life circumstances are different and kind of figured out, you know, and there are unfortunately some professions that Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Hanukkah, the world doesn't stop. And, you know, they have to go to work. And so, you know, look at the picture and say, okay, where am I on that scale? And hats off to those that are working. And, you know, stay safe.
Yeah, and so many people, too, in the service, in the military, in government service around the world, they're not going to be home with their friends or family for Christmas. And, you know, there's always that, what am I saying? People will always have that empty chair waiting, you know, kind of for them. But, you know, going back to traditions, what a phenomenal tree lighting. Wow.
That
tree is absolutely gorgeous, well decorated, but a beautiful tree.
It is. And, you know, the event was pretty well attended. A lot of things came into play. I think it was the first tree lighting since 2019. and it was a pretty decent night. You know, we were sitting there waiting for the tree to be lit. And it's like, okay, well, I've been here when it's freezing cold. I've been here when it's snowing, and I've been here when it's pouring rain. So to have a 35 or 40 degree night, to be able to light the tree, and then, you know, all the other activities that were happening at the same time, whether it be the First Friday's Art Walk, or whether it be the wreath auction over at the Lichtenstein Center, helping to raise funds for the South Congregational Church Food Pantry, or whether it was Downtown Inc.'s pub crawl. It was good to see so many people out and about celebrating and having a good time.
Yeah, and, you know, I was fortunate. I got to go down to the clock tower where they have their artists down there now. On the third floor, if you get a chance, folks, they're there most of the time, many of them. It's an amazing place. They had like an open house, and I take my hat off to all the artists. It's an amazing, you know, it really is in the water here, Peter. There's so many really talented people. They asked me if I painted, and I said yes, mostly walls and ceilings, but never on a canvas. But I guess what I also liked was just a kind of a David Carver and Dan Soldato. What they have done with that Eagle Building is amazing. And also now, I don't know if you noticed, did you see that Morningside? They've already started moving people in Morningside Fire Station.
Oh, I didn't see that yet.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we have so much to be thankful for, really and truly. Everybody, there's always going to be problems. If there's not problems, then you better wake up because you're dreaming. What do you see the future of next year for the city?
Well, I mean, I think there's many good things happening that need to continue. depending upon when this show airs, I know the next city council meeting has a ARPA money update coming, which, you know, things are moving, and we're going to see some of the investments being made, and I feel upbeat, or at least semi, you know, optimistic that with some of the ARPA spendings, we're ready to tackle the homeless issue and start to provide some resources. You know, is it a one and done fix it? I don't think so. But I think we'll make the progress, and we can build off of that progress. I think the economy will play a really big picture. And I know that we've had this conversation before. And, you know, when we talked a year plus ago, and we were talking COVID and we were talking 2021, I said I was more concerned about what 2022 might look like. Now, you know, seeing how things are unfolding, it's what will 2023 look like? The inflation and the cost to do what we used to do is changing dramatically, and really not at an opportune time, where there are so many people already struggling. And so, you know, the question from the city perspective is, how do we continue to forge a path ahead that provides the services that we need, but not at a level that people can't afford? I think that it's 2023, it's an odd number year. I think, you know, probably early on, the beginning of 2023, we'll start having conversations about who's running for what office. And in fact, you know, at our one day WTBR auction, you know, one counselor already kind of raised the question and said, I'm not going to run another term with Councilor Sherman making that announcement on the air. So it's about that time that we're going to start seeing, some changes or commitments on behalf of many. I really hope that we don't get bogged down in an election year of politics, and we continue to make decisions, and we really need to spend some time this winter having a conversation about trash and what methods that we want to do. And, you know, to a certain extent, I've been letting it lay where it is, because I think the conversations in the general public are changing, and pay-as-you-throw may not be the answer, but pay-as-you-throw may be the conversation that leads us back to toters and to figure out a way to make that work with an open dialogue, with trying to be as flexible as you can. But if you've got 11,000 households, you can't have 11,000 options of what size toter you have. But I think the time has come, and that all the things that we said years ago, the sky is falling or the sky will be falling, I think the sky has fallen, and we need to pick up the pieces. And unfortunately, we'll have to make those decisions now in a different place and be reactive to the situation rather than be proactive. But nonetheless, I think it's time to kind of engage in that conversation. You're muted again.
I agree, and I think it's so important that people become involved in not in a negative sense, but in a learning sense, an understanding sense, and say, you know, we can't kick this down the road again. We've done that, whether you like toters or pay as you throw or jump off a window. We have to resolve it. We have to come to some solution, some conclusion. Otherwise, it's going to become cost prohibitive.
Well, and, you know, I think that what we need to do as a community is define what our priorities are. Yep. And the one thing that has been made very clear, I think, to many of us is that some form of curbside collection is a priority. And that, as you're engaging in those conversations, I think you need to keep that in mind. But if we need to cap it at a certain amount, or we need to change the way, we need to be having those conversations. And, you know, it would be nice to engage in a conversation where I'm not the enemy just because I have a different opinion.
Yeah.
And you know, we can choose not to make changes, but, you know, if we look at where we are, we're not dealing with the same facility today or 6 months from now than we used to deal with. And so, you know, common sense says that something needs to be changed. And I hate the word to say common sense, because my version of common sense and your version of common sense may be completely different. But I think that that's part of the process, and we get elected to make decisions. We get elected to collaborate and form compromises. There's a misnomer out there that elected officials are never held accountable. From my perspective, if that's a true statement, it's a shame. Because there are elections every 2 years on the city council level.
Yeah.
There's elections every 2 years on the city clerk level. There's elections every 4 years for the office of mayor. There's elections every 2 years for state rep and state senator. You know, there is an opportunity to hold folks accountable. And you know, I think that it happens. You know, I think the last couple of elections, both city and state, we've seen an increased voter turnout where people are engaged. Having a vigorous campaign where folks are debating the issues and providing a path forward and a vision for the city, I think is kind of important. And if it's my vision for the city is X and your vision for the city is Y, then let's debate them. But what I do in my personal time or what you do in your personal time is not up for debate in my opinion. It's a job interview. Here's my resume. Here's my resume, and Here's my experience. Here's my community service. Here's what I've done for you over the last 20 years.
I had 100. I'm sorry. Was the gray in the beard through me?
Is that something that you see as a good thing or something you see as a bad thing? And when you go to the polls, you make your decision. And you know, I think that all of us over the next 2 to 4 months will be making our decisions about what our future holds. And you know, I would embrace anybody who wants to run for public office to run and to put out their ideas. But I would also, you know, suggest that they do some homework and research to understand what the job entails. And, you know, A, are you willing to make the commitment and the time commitment? And B, you know, are you prepared for if you make the wrong decision in the eyes of voters, there's a bad choice of words, but there's backlash to why you've done. And you know, I think in my case, what I've learned to be able to do is explain. This is why I voted this particular way. And, you know, again, I think a majority of our decisions are more unanimous than anything else on the city council. And when there's disagreements and concerns, then that's kind of where we fall too.
I would reiterate this, what Peter just said. Do your homework, shadow a counselor if you can, go to the meetings, read the agenda and the supporting materials. That should discourage you right from the get-go. I mean, encourage it. Because while they appear sitting there, I know so many of them have put hours into studying the agenda and the supportive and derogatory materials. The other thing too is, and I have to say this, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but before I do, I have to say this too. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Tyre in the mayor's office, or Peter Marchetti in the city council, or Chief Nguyen, who just announced his retirement in the police department. And that is, I'm somewhat discouraged. City Councilor Sherman has decided not to run again. But I will tell you this, it's the city's loss. Councilor Kevin Sherman is a great man of integrity. He's knowledgeable. He's been in the game for a long time. And it's our loss. And the other thing that I must say is when he was at the pinnacle of his political career, he stepped aside to raise his children. And he will always have a gold star for me for doing that because he's a good man. It's a shame we're losing him, but everybody has to live their own lives. And I think that's important too. We don't know what cards we're going to be dealt tomorrow. So live for that. I also would say to people who are considering running, start to do your homework now, right after the first of the year. Start attending the meeting, start reading all this stuff. It is almost like, Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, it is almost like another full-time job.
Definitely. There are, you know, there are lulls in the workload. And I would, you know, go on record to support everything you just said about Councillor Sherman, 110%. But I think there's also a difference between being the ward counselor and, right. and I think Councillor Sherman articulates well, and being an at-large counselor, where on the at-large level, you're focusing more on the bigger picture, and on the ward side, you know, you're getting many more calls. And you know, for me, if you want to run, it really should be with why I want to make a difference in the city,
right?
Not why someone is not the right choice, right? Here's my platform. This is what I believe in. This is what I want to see happen. This is what I will push for when elected, but recognize that I can't do the job alone. And unless five other members of the city council vote the same way I do, I can't make change. So when it's I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you know, there's some of that. Yeah, you are going to do that. You're going to work with your colleagues to embrace this or to change this piece of legislation, but you yourself can't do that. And I think that's part of understanding the process. And, you know, I think what this term and so far this year has taught me is how do you find a blend between this is the way that it's always been done.
Yeah.
And this is the way that we can do things. And I think a lot of us fall on the, well, this is the way that we've always done this process. How can we do it differently? And it's not just flip the switch, because you may need to plan to do things differently. But it really should be of how do you want to make things better? What are your solutions to make things better?
We have to take a break. This is Peter Marchetti. It is kind of a holiday show. Talk about city, talk about the holidays, talk about traditions. And let's remember there's major faiths and major events happening from Christmas to Hanukkah to Kwanzaa to all kinds of. It is a festive season. Let me say that. That way there are. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We are Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. You see that guy there in his festive holiday sweater? And you see me in my traditional stay warm clothes? There's the difference. I'm old. He's middle-aged. Listen, as the city starts to progress, I would just ask one thing. Twice I've been down North Street in this past last week and this week, and probably this is the wrong time and the wrong place. But would somebody please check the timing on the lights? I sat through a light at North and Fenn, two lights, and then again at Maplewood and North, two lights. And are they triggering faster or what? I don't know, but I know they want people to go slow, but they don't want people stopped.
Right. Well, that's a good point. I'll send a message when we're done to Commissioner Morales and see if there's been a change.
Yeah, just see, you know. Well, maybe because it's only one lane now.
But I think we would have seen that prior to now, because
yeah, me too. I don't know. Well, I did see it a couple times. It's not that big a deal. I just thought, wait a minute, something. This isn't anyhow. What do you think about? you mentioned the finances, and you know, I think you're in the banking business. You think we're in for a tough year coming up?
Well, I mean, I think so. And I think part of it is the uncertainty of, you know, when, you know, I think the big question is, when does inflation get tackled? And, you know, I think from an economic standpoint, when you look at where we are today, as compared to maybe when I first started getting into banking, you know, the last decade has really been good for the younger generation who is looking to, you know, begin their life and purchase a house. And, you know, the housing market was pretty stable. You could get a, you know, fixed rate mortgage at 3%, and voila, yeah, there you go. But in those days, the folks of an older generation who are really relying on a return on investment and are really looking for that CD that pays 12 or 13%, so they can help sustain their income, disappears. And so now you see a world where, you know, where do mortgage rates top off? And when does the Federal Reserve stop the rate hikes? You know, and all of us were used to credit cards with a fairly low interest rate. If you had a balance or a substantial balance, you're now paying double the interest that you had been paying on that card. So, I mean, I think that the questions are, you know, from a financial standpoint, I don't see 23 being better than 22. But if you had asked me in 21, if I would have predicted some of the stuff that happened in 22, probably not. I just sensed, you know, in one of the things, you know, from the bank, trying to hire people is not an easy task. And so, you know, if we're struggling, other places are, and you still have restaurants that are understaffed. And those were the conversations that we had a year ago about what happens when we try to rebuild, right? Where was that roadmap and that plan to rebuild? Because if people have not been working for a period of time because, you know, we weren't going out to eat or, you know, whatever the case may be, where's the plan to build back? And when so many places are struggling to hire, what's that impact? And what, you know, so do I think that 2023 is going to be tough? Yes. You know, will gas prices stable? I, from my memory, and it's not that great anymore, but home heating oil is probably the highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to take a toll on many. And yet we don't know what the winter is going to look like. You know, I'm not a meteorologist, but, you know, my fear is we haven't seen an old-fashioned winter in a long time. Yep. Are we due for one, right? Yep. Are we nor'easter after nor'easter? If that happens from a city perspective, the, you know, winter road maintenance will be enormous. Right? But we need to plow the roads. You know, if the gas prices stabilize and drop some, and the oil prices, then, you know, let's take advantage. But if they continue to stay high, what's that impact, right? So the cost of diesel fuel is the cost of diesel fuel. The cost of regular gas is regular gas. We still need to gas city vehicles. We still need to gas the buses? What's that impact? I think that what it looks like now, 23 is going to be tough.
I agree. And you know, I got a kick out of, they said that we may or may not have, you know, like power short outages or brownouts, whatever they call it. But in the same breath, they're looking at buying electric school buses. Well, you know, not to say anything, I'm not on top of that. I don't really have a dog in that fight right now. I think it's premature, some of this stuff, until we think it through. In my opinion, it's kind of knee-jerk. I'm all for green energy and all that, but it's not a flick of a switch kind of thing. It's a phase-in, and I'm afraid that some people are just so hell-bent on doing it tomorrow that we're going to put ourselves in kind of a bad position. But that said, I agree. I'm even myself. Now, I just talked with someone the other day, and their 401k is basically crashed from what it was. And you know, when you're planning on retiring within a couple of years, and your 401k is probably the lowest it's been ever, you have to start to think about that.
Right. Well, I know. I just looked at my 401k the other day, and it's almost back to where it was before it crashed. I look at the big picture, and a year ago it was doing fine, and poof, you know, you lost quite a bit, and now it's just coming back, but it can change in the turn of a dime. And
or a policy.
Right.
Or a statement, or that's the thing with the economy. There are certainly the real drivers, shortages and this and supply chain and all this other stuff. But the wrong statement, or as you know, in politics, if you say one thing and you mean one thing, somebody interprets it the opposite, and then all of a sudden there's a crisis. So I think I don't give financial advice, but I'm just saying how I'm going to live my life cautiously till we find out where we're going. I'm not sure we got a clue right now where we're going holistically. Go ahead.
I think there's just so many still outstanding factors, and
yeah,
part of it, I think it depends on what part of the country you're in.
Uh-huh.
You know, COVID. Is it still an issue? I think it depends on who you talk to. I think it depends on what your overall health being is. You know, RSV, flu season. You know, we've all been masked for 2 years, and I think for the most part, we've stayed flu free.
Yeah.
Well, it's been lurking. What does it look like now, and how will it impact people?
Sure.
Now that you're not wearing a mask, and you know, how does that impact? And you know, I'm pleased to a sense where when you go out, you know, like last Friday night, the tree lighting, good number of people, good number of people participating in all the events, but it's new, right? When your media hype is a return of the tree lighting ceremony,
right?
That we haven't had one in person for 3 years, that kind of sets a tone and excites people, and you know, gets people out and about. Do we feel comfortable doing that? For how long and when, you know, in winter setting in, does it change the dynamics? And, you know, I happen to be one of the people who, whether you wear a mask or not is a personal choice.
Right.
And when I see someone wearing a mask, I don't go, ooh, look at them. And I don't do that. The same, you know, I went, this past weekend, down to Stockbridge to, the Norman Rockwell recreation Christmas time. Yeah. Born and raised, never been. Wanted to go down and check it out. And there was a mixed bag of people wearing and not wearing. And yeah. When you signed up to go, it was, you need to abide by our policy. And so there was a, you know, clause of indoor masking if needed. And of course, I didn't see much of it. But I think that people were also in a relaxed state in comparison. So, but people were masked if they wanted to be.
And yeah, we were at Sacred Heart Church this weekend, and or I'm sorry, St. Agnes, and several people there were wearing their masks. I was somewhere, at the arch thing, some people were. And, you know, if we don't know, and they all say this, they all say, well, if you have an underlying disease or morbidity or whatever, you should take precautions. Well, I'm not going to judge anybody. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask.
Right.
You know, and I think you're taking the right attitude with that. I'm not going to order you to wear a mask, but I just think it's, for those people, you know your own health, you know your own concerns, so you should make your own decisions. This time of the year, it's going to be hard not to be in groups. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
You know, you're going to have your situation there, and some people will come masked, some won't. And there right. It is.
Yep. No, I think that people, you know, when I'm deciding I'm going someplace, I make the decision whether or not I think it's a safe place for me to go or be. And you know, there have been a few things that I said no to, just because I didn't really think it was something that I really wanted to do and put myself in that place. But for the most part, if I'm nervous about something, I wear my mask and or don't go, right?
We still have our personal choice, and I think our personal responsibilities. You know, I'm not going to put anybody down, but I was in a Big Y yesterday, and boy, there was a person. I couldn't get out of the damn aisle fast enough to get away from this person. They were hacking and coughing and they weren't masked. Excuse me. So I just think sometimes think of the other person too. If you are hacking and coughing, you think you have the flu, you got a cold, whatever, put a mask on. You know, you want to be Sally germ spreader.
Or stay home.
Or stay home. Yeah.
I mean,
I want to go back. We only got a few minutes, about 8 minutes left, but going back to the homeless situation, I thank you for saying it's a complex issue. I do get a little ruffled at times when I hear people just like it's a really just like all we need to do is give them a place to live. Well, no, it's a lot deeper than that. There's a plethora of reasons people are homeless. Some not of their own choice, some of their own choice, some in and out of their own choice, not their own choice. And I hope that when we look at this as a city, as a community, we look at it through the eyes and let's not knee-jerk solve the problem. Let's take a look at it. You know, I used to work for a boss who used to say, yeah, we can do that. That'll solve the problem short term, but let's look long term. And I think as far as the council, I think there's some people there that have their heads screwed on right. And I think there's others, in my opinion, of course, I have an opinion on this show. I think there's others who just need to listen a little bit, because a lot of counselors have experience with homeless. And I think they can learn from that.
Well, but again, I think that it is a complex issue. And we, you know, sometimes try to wave the magic wand and the quick fix and see it's not there anymore. And, you know, my concern is that that's what we do. And, you know, we're working on building housing, but just giving someone an apartment to live in, if they don't have the life skills or if they have underlying issues that cause them not to be able to fully function with those life skills, they need those resources. And I think that's what, you know, kind of excites me about the first step of the solution, is that there's housing and there's resources being built in the same kind of vicinity, so that it's not, woof, there you go. It's taking people through the steps that they need to go through in order to be successful on the other side of the issue. And I think we need to, again, big picture approach. And, you know, some will say it's a skirting the issue. When you have issues like mental health crisis and drug addiction that are national epidemics, you know, it's not just something in Pittsfield. You really need a larger plan on the process, and you need to be building the resources. And if you don't have enough mental health counselors to deal with the issue at hand, then how do you solve that problem? Because all you're doing is putting people off. And, you know, if you have someone with a drug addiction, you just can't snap your finger and say, okay, you're going to be fixed, right? There's a process for that person to get at the place they need to be at in order to want help. And when they get to that place, because they've been helped to that place, they need to be able to get immediate attention and immediate services to go through, so that they don't go, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm making the wrong choice and this life is better. And I think too many times people get to that place where they're ready, and the world's not ready for them to be able to solve the problem. And I think that's, you know, where we see the issues of either relapses or, you know, even worse, people fall to suicide to solve the problem. And, you know, I think that those resources have to be in place on a whole host of issues. And, you know, we talk about the homeless issue as if it's the issue. You know, I actually really believe that it's the outcome of issues. It's not the issue. There are many other issues that have made this maybe a visual aspect of the issue, but it's not the issue itself. The issue itself is the underlying causes behind where we really need to direct the attention.
And I think that's a proper way of looking at it. It's the result of many things in a person's life, and to understand that is very important for people. And sometimes, like I said, I don't get discouraged. I just think if it were that easy, everybody'd be fixing it. It's not that easy a fix, you know. And I applaud the way people in the city are looking at it. The homeless council, I know they get beaten up by people, but I think from the committee's things that I've watched and people I've talked to, it's a complex issue with a lot of tentacles that have to be addressed. And you just did that very nicely. A lot of tentacles that need to be addressed. It's not just giving somebody an apartment. It's getting how did you get to where you are now? You need a job. We have an employment piece, but there's so many things. We only got a couple minutes left. Peter, your holiday message to the folks.
So, you know, regardless of what holiday you're celebrating, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah, I hope that you have the best one possible. And, you know, as life evolves, keep looking to the future. We can't change the past, but we can definitely chart our future. And, you know, I think that we all need to come together through the holiday season and the new year. I mean, for me personally, I'm looking for a brand new year, for new experiences, and you know, there'll be some changes coming in my life for sure, that I'm not yet prepared to, you know, announce, but there are changes coming. And you know, folks, go back to your traditions, go back to your memories, and enjoy the best you can. And if you happen to know someone who's down, lend them a little bit of a helping hand to raise them up.
Yeah, especially this time of the year, Invite them over to the house, talk to them on the phone, go out to breakfast or lunch. Peter, I wish you and all of yours just a very wonderful Christmas season. And like Peter said, to Christians, Merry Christmas. To the Jewish community, Happy Hanukkah. To others, whatever you celebrate, celebrate it. Right. Don't agonize over it. I thank you, Peter, for coming on. Again, we're going to work out a date. So if I read some of this stuff and it's already passed, don't worry about it. Don't go. But I wanted to get some of the people that I know are going to be busy recorded so that I can play them through the season. And it is a season to be joyous and happy. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter, all his friends and family, and
all of you, my listeners and viewers, God bless. And especially this time of the year, let's take care of each other. Peter nailed it. Let's bring back some of our traditions. And some of our traditions, when I was a kid, really were family going to family. And Peter named it. What place we're going to go in the morning and afternoon.
Yep.
Peter, thanks a million. God bless. And I'll be in touch.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.